www.ncbc.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Laura. Coming up today, we're going to listen to some of what President Trump said on his visit to Iraq yesterday, his first ever visit to troops abroad. We're going to hear some of what the president said. And later, we're going to talk about the best movies of 2018. First, three listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we spent most of the program talking about the government shutdown and President Trump's continued calls for building that vast border wall. Here's what three listeners had to say.
Hi, Rob. I think the border wall is very important with regards to the inefficiency of the wall or the wall being a symbol. I think that as Christians, a lot of times people go to church and they see the cross there as a symbol of Jesus, who said, don't worship idols, and would probably frown on the fact that, you know, a lot of churches have symbols. To take a spin on that, though, the wall, even if it is only a symbol, would be a great, great symbol in its own right for Christians who want to have security and security in our nation. I can't think of a better thing that would draw us together even more than it already is at this point, just to hear people call in and talk about wanting to fight against drug abuse and wanting to stop criminals from coming in, the criminal elements. I haven't heard that in so long that it just makes me warm on the inside to know that our kids are growing up wanting to join the military. The one gentleman that called in that said the National Guard should come down there and fight against criminals or arrest criminals, well, you know, our young kids are going to be trained in hand-to-hand combat, and that wall is only going to help support their endeavor to bring security and peace and a drug-free nation back to America. I think it's wonderful. I think that the wall is a wonderful symbol of that. I think the wall can be funded.
This is Andrew in Dunedin. I thought your question regarding smuggling was rhetorical. In seven seasons of Miami Vice, I don't recall any drugs ever imported by foot. Planes, boats, and submarines are the preferred modes of transport, if I recall correctly. The notion of somebody humping in 50 pounds of smack on their back is a little bit out of sorts with that. And I think we have to be clear, Fox News does not really care about the wall. It's a tool to keep the Trumpster base unified. And ironically, I doubt the Trumpsters even themselves would really care if they weren't incited daily. There is much I take issue with Bill Maher, but he gets it right when he tells us to be more cynical.
This is Kevin from St. Pete commenting on your show today about the wall funding and shutting down the government. And I think that the new Congress coming in January should simply supermajority their spending bill. It kind of puts the president politically in a bad place, but it's what needs to happen. What did happen already, the president was presented a spending bill that did not include wall funding, and he said he wouldn't sign it, and that's his prerogative. If Congress had stayed in session over 10 days, the bill would have become law without his signature. That's my understanding. Within that 10 days, the House, which was Republican-controlled at the time, took up what the president wanted, which was wall funding, and it passed, as you would expect, with a Republican-controlled House. And that element is filibuster-proof in the Senate. They're not going to pay for a silly wall. So no replacement bill ever reached the president's desk. Congress ended their session, so it's my research shows that's called a pocket veto. So they have to start over. And I certainly hope the Democrats will basically put the same funding bill in front of the president and Senate will cooperate. That remains to be seen. But again, though, if Congress stays in session over 10 days, it doesn't matter if he signs it or not. Hopefully that'll happen.
Some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program, after we spent most of the hour yesterday talking about the border wall and the government shutdown. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Well, he's back from his 29-hour trip to visit U.S. troops in a conflict zone in Iraq. President Trump returned his attention this morning to the ongoing partial U.S. government shutdown. In a morning tweet, Trump said, "We desperately need a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border, funding for which has been a flashpoint between the White House and Congress ever since Trump took office. Trump promised that Mexico would pay for that wall, but he's currently only asking Congress and the U.S. taxpayers to pay for the wall. The shutdown is now in its sixth day. It affects hundreds of thousands of federal workers. The subject came up yesterday when President Trump was in Iraq.
How long do you think the shutdown will last, Mr. President?
Whatever it takes. I mean, we're going to have a wall. We're going to have safety. We need safety for our country, even from this standpoint. We have terrorists coming in through the southern border. We have the terrorists also coming in, fellas, through the southern border. Because you know what? It was always the easiest. Now, we've made it very tough, but I won't put them on the spot. But I guarantee you, they would say, you don't have a wall. You're not going to have... I mean, the folks are saying, can we have some drones? Can we have technology? Technology is bells and whistles. You have to have a wall. You have to have protection. But we have, in addition to drugs, in addition to human trafficking, in addition to mass numbers of illegals who are coming in, many of whom are criminals. You saw that. 618 so far that we found, in some cases, very serious criminals. In some cases, murderers. You saw that yourselves. It was on your cameras for everybody to see. We need a wall. So when you say, how long is it going to take? When are they going to say that we need border security? When are the Democrats going to say? Don't forget, the Democrats all agreed that you need a wall until I wanted it. Once I wanted it, they didn't agree.
President Trump yesterday saying the terrorists were coming into the country, and that's the reason why we needed the wall. There were some terrorists in this country in 2001. They didn't come over the wall. Well, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. The president also said some other things in Iraq yesterday as he was visiting the troops. Let's listen into a few more of the things that the president had to say. And if you want to comment about what you're hearing, you can always email the studio here, and I'll read your email on the air. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. That's dj@wmnf.org. Here's President Trump yesterday in Iraq.
On Earth, not being reimbursed in many cases at all. If they want us to do the fighting, they also pay a price. And sometimes that's also a monetary price. So we're not the suckers of the world. We're no longer the suckers, folks. And people aren't looking at us as suckers. And under my administration, we're winning now. We're not playing to lose slowly like they've been doing for 19 years. We're fighting in areas where we shouldn't be fighting and spending hundreds of billions of dollars doing it. We want to fight where it's meaningful. Your general understands. I just met with them. Your general understands it. We want to fight for the meaningful things. I want each and every one of you to know that we will always protect those who protect us. You protect us. We are always going to protect you. And you just saw that because you just got one of the biggest pay raises you've ever received, unless you don't want it. Does anybody here... is anybody here willing to give up the big pay raise you just got? Raise your hand, please. Oh, I don't see too many hands. Okay. Don't give it up. It's great. You know what? Nobody deserves it more. You haven't gotten one in more than 10 years. More than 10 years. And we got you a big one. I got you a big one. I got you a big one. They had plenty of people that came up. They said, you know, we could make it smaller. We could make it 3%. We could make it 2%. We could make it 4%. I said, no. Make it 10%. Make it more than 10%. Because it's been a long time. It's been more than 10 years. Been more than 10 years. That's a long time.
President Trump yesterday in Iraq falsely claiming he got a 10% pay raise for the troops and falsely claiming that they had not received a pay raise in 10 years. Here's the actual facts. Military members have seen a pay raise in each of the last 10 years, ranging from 1% a year to 3.9% a year, according to the Defense Department. They even saw pay bumps when other federal workers were subjected to a three-year pay freeze in the wake of the Great Recession. The pay increase for the military for 2019, passed by Congress and signed by the president in August, will be 2.6%, not 10%. But 2.6% is the largest since 2010. It is not far above last year's raise for the troops, which was 2.4%. The falsehood about the military pay raises may be turning into a theme for Trump. As PolitiFact reported in May, the president claimed that the last pay increase for fiscal year 2018 was also the first time in 10 years. Yesterday, Trump used the phrase "in more than 10 years" four times as he was talking to the troops and getting big cheers from the troops. The fact-checking site PolitiFact noted that the last single year without a military pay raise was 1983. And that was only because the date of the raise was shifted from October 1st to January 1st. So, yes, the troops have received pay raises during the last 10 years. And the president did not sign a 10% pay increase for the troops this year. This year's pay increase for them will be only 2.6%. And that troops saw pay increases throughout the last 10 years. When other federal workers were subjected to a three-year pay freeze in the wake of the Great Recession. President Trump also saying that we're winning now as opposed to losing slowly the war in Iraq. And if you want to comment about that, our phone number 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Adam writes this: it's really frustrating that none of the mainstream media has picked up on that lie and called him out for it. Obama gave the troops a bigger pay raise in 2010, writes Adam. He said instead they fawn all over him and say he's presidential just because he visited the troops. How about mentioning that he lied directly to the troops' faces during about their own pay, writes Adam. And if you want to send an email in, you can send it into dj@wmnf.org. Well, I thought also on this show we could do something a little bit different since it is the end of the year. And one of the things that I haven't done this year that I usually do every year is I usually see a bunch of films. And this year, I think I've fallen way behind. I've probably seen a dozen films this year in the theaters, and that's kind of low for me. I was watching North by Northwest last night on TV and just reveling in how great a movie it was and wishing that all movies were that great. But I'm hoping that you're going to help me out because I don't really know what the best films of the year were. I've seen some lists, and I'm going to talk about some of the lists in just a second. But I'm wondering, have you seen a great film this year? Have you seen something that really is outstanding that you think other people would enjoy or that I would enjoy? I like, you know, practically all kinds of movies. I like documentaries. Have you seen something really good? I'm going to go and read a list right now, but if you've got a suggestion for a film that you've seen this year that is really stands out as an outstanding film from 2018, call us up at 813-239-9663, or you can email the studio here, dj@wmnf.org. And James Lyles is our phone producer today. There's a lot of great movie websites out there. The New York Times, The New Yorker all have great critics writing for them. And there's a bunch of great movie critics around the country. Unfortunately, we lost our movie critic here at the Tampa Bay Times, the local newspaper here in the Tampa Bay area. I think that was a great loss to the community because I think that having an outstanding film reviewer like Steve Purcell, that I think that it really hurts the local film scene. And I'm often frustrated, too, and maybe you're frustrated like me, that if we were living in New York or San Francisco, there would be a lot more independent films. There would be maybe one or two or three or four independent art houses that show independent films and documentary films. We don't have much going on that score here. But let me read from, there's a great film website called Little White Lies, and I'm going to read their list of the top films. Some of these I know nothing about. Their number 30 film is Shirkers, and it's from Singapore. It's an independent film from Singapore, and I don't know anything about it. Have you seen Shirkers? Did it make it? Did it make it to our theaters here? Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. On the same website, Mandy was their number 29 film, and it was they describe it as having a heavy dose of ultra-violence in the form of a mind-boggling set piece involving battle axes and chainsaws. Number 29, Mandy. And then their next film on their list is Have a Nice Day. And I think this was about people that... I don't know what Have a Nice Day was about. Was this the one about people that were in an office at a call center? Anyway, Have a Nice Day was number 28 in their list. And then something that surprised me, this was heavily advertised on television, the Steve McQueen film, not the old Steve McQueen. We're talking about the younger Steve McQueen, who's still alive. His film, Widows, and it's about a group of women who were taking over from their husband's heist job after their husbands were supposedly killed. Widows came in number 27 on that list. Heavily advertised. I usually don't trust films that are heavily advertised. And then number 26, the latest Mission Impossible film, Fallout. And number 25, Annihilation, a strong feminist film. Number 24, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the animated version of Spider-Man. So do you have a good suggestion for a film? I'm reading from this list from Little White Lies, which is a terrific film website. Number 23 on their list, the last, Robert Redford has promised this will be his last film, The Old Man and the Gun. He's a bank robber in this film. And I think he gets together with Sissy Spacek. Number 22, Black Panther, which shocked everybody by how many great reviews it got and also how much money it made at the box office. Black Panther, number 22. And then Hale County, This Morning, This Evening. I know nothing about that film. And then number 20, Shoplifters, which might have been a Japanese film, although I don't know. Number 19, Fred Weissman. He's still around, one of the great documentaries in America, documentary filmmakers in America. I even shot a film here in Tampa one time about domestic violence court. But his latest film is called Ex Libris. It's about a library. And I'm surprised Fred Weissman was still around, because when I was taking film courses in college, everybody was looking up to Fred Weissman, and this goes back 40 years. Now, one of the films I did see was Spike Lee's new film, Black Klansman, which I thought was one of the great films of the last 10 years, especially the ending. Did you see Black Klansman? It's about an officer in Colorado Springs who happens to be African-American, who plays, believe it or not, an undercover guy going into the KKK, but he has to do it with the help of one of his fellow officers who is white. The Black Klansman film by Spike Lee was really terrific. That was number 18. Number 17 on this website's list, a Western, takes place in Bulgaria. I have no idea what that's about. And then Isle of Dogs, number 16. Appears to be another Japanese film. Here's a film that I did see, Let the Sunshine In. It's a French film, and Juliette Binoche is in it. She has a couple of boyfriends or lovers, and it's a comedy drama. There's a surprise appearance at the end from Gerard Depardieu. Let the Sunshine In, number 15 on the list. Kind of a sweet but sad film. And then Hereditary. I've heard this is one of the scariest horror movies of all time, but I have not seen it. Hereditary, number 14. Have you seen a good film that you could recommend this year? 813-239-9663. And then the latest Coen Brothers film, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, came in 13 on this list. I love the Coen Brothers. Didn't see this one. And then... The film Can You Ever Forgive Me, about a writer in New York who can't make money writing anymore, so she comes up with phony letters from celebrities and sells them to antique dealers, starring the great Melissa McCarthy. There's almost no comedy in this. You smile a few times in this. This is one of the films I did see. But Can You Ever Forgive Me, a great, great performance by Melissa McCarthy in this film. That is worth seeing, but it's certainly not a comedy. And then number 11, The Other Side of the Wind, which I think is an Orson Welles film that they finally finished. I have not seen it. Did it ever come to town? I can't remember. And then The Miseducation of Cameron Post is number 10. And number 9, Burning. I don't know what Burning's about either. Made in South Korea. Number 8, You Were Never Really Here. This is kind of a mystery film that stars, I'm trying to pull up the review here, stars that great actor who was in the Johnny Cash film, Joaquin Phoenix. Now, I hear great things about that, but I didn't see it. It's another one of those films that might have breezed in and out of town. So I'm looking for your suggestion for a film to see, because I want to know, what film should I try to see this weekend? Maybe rent them or go out to the movie theaters. Is there one in the theaters that you've seen that you like? Number 7 on this list on the Little White Lies website, The Wild Pear Tree. Number 6 on the list, If Beale Street Could Talk. And number 5 on the list, Leave No Trace. And number 4 on the list, First Reformed. Number 3 on the list, The House That Jack Built, a horror film from Denmark. Number 2, Roma, which is, I think, on a lot of people's lists. Alfonso Cuarón, who's been in outer space, and now he's back down to Earth in Roma. And then finally, the number 1 film, which I have no idea what it's about, Zama, Z-A-M-A. Well, that's from the Little White Lies website, which is a great movie website. Usually I see a bunch of films this year. I've hardly seen any films this year. What would you recommend? And what would you recommend your fellow WMNF listeners as a great movie that came out this year? It could have come out any time in 2018. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Hugh in Dover. Hugh, do you have a film recommendation for the year?
I do, sir.
All right, what's up?
It's the Mary Queen of Scots movie.
Okay. And
I think you would really enjoy it. What I liked most about it was, you know, the costumes, actually. And it just brings to light some of the characters that were depicted in it, the roles of the African-Americans. You wouldn't normally think of them as being in her army, you know, back in the 1600s, but they were in her brother's army in Scotland. And just the little things like that that just make it a great movie.
And who plays Mary Queen of Scots?
Oh, you got me on that one.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't really remember, you know, unless it's somebody like Clint Eastwood or somebody whose name I've heard a million times. I just think that the role that they play is, or at least the actors and actresses that played the roles were very convincing. And I don't know, it just changed my whole idea of what happened during history. I've seen a bunch of them, you know, about Elizabeth and Mary, but I've never seen this one. I don't want to give away the ending because it's such a shock. And it just, I now have to go back and read the history books again.
Well, we all remember the Monty Python routine, The Death of Mary, Queen of Scots. Have you heard that comedy bit?
I've seen a lot of okay. Monty Python.
All right, I think we know how it ends. All right,
yes.
Hugh, thanks a lot.
Do go see it, though.
Okay, I will. Thanks.
I think you really will enjoy it.
Thanks for the suggestion. Thanks, Hugh. You're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM. Let's go to Gary in Clearwater. Gary, you have a film suggestion for this year?
Yes. I'm with my pastor and his wife, and we saw Green Book. And there's no violence, there's no bad language, and there's no animation for all the kids and all that. It was just a fun, great movie.
This is about the jazz musician who's African American who's taking tour of the South in the mid '60s, and he's got a white Vito Morganson plays the bouncer who's his bodyguard. Is that right, or his driver?
How did you know all that? That's very good. Yes.
And who plays the jazz musician in that?
Again, you know what? It's like the last caller. We don't know the names of all these characters and all that, because they're not big names, okay?
Yeah, I hear their performances are outstanding. Well, that's a great era of American history to look at. So, Gary,
Everybody go see that movie, okay?
All right, that's great. That's good to know. Gary, thanks a lot. Happy New Year.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Doug in Clearwater writes, not sure about the films of this year, but given your opening comments, I would recommend the film Kill the Messenger, writes Doug. Thanks a lot. Lou in Tampa writes, I was struck by a 45 statement that we take care of the troops. If that's the case, why are we bombarded with appeals for funds to support wounded veterans, writes Lou. Yeah, that's a good question. Let's go back to films. Let's go to Bruce in Sarasota. Hey, Bruce, do you have a recommendation for a film this year?
I do. Again, a movie with no guns, no violence, no crazy abuse. It was a Bohemian Rhapsody. I didn't think it would be so good, but my wife, Sorit's wife, she's a filmmaker. It was very emotional, just a great movie about the band.
Now Queen, were you a fan of Queen back in the 80s?
Not really. I'm a musician. I'm a horn player, so I always stick with bands with horns. And I didn't really think I'd like it. I was blown away. It was such well acted, and in terms of the whole gay rights issue, and the acting was just great, just so captivating. It was an excellent. I highly recommend it.
And the guy who plays Freddie Mercury seems spot on, doesn't he?
Yes, and just the dynamics. Because I play in bands, and just the dynamic of the bands and the fights that go on in bands, and just the artistic drive and just the interaction with the music industry. It was just so well done and so captivating. It was kind of a long movie, but you just riveted the whole time.
Oh, that sounds great. And did it turn you into a Queen fan after seeing the movie?
Yes, like I said, I was never a big fan, but it definitely opened me up, to the band and what they represented and how artistic they were. It was very, as a musician itself, it was very inspiring.
All right.
There's the artistic drive. I highly recommend it.
All right, I'll go see it. Bruce, thanks a lot. Thanks for the recommendation. Well, you may not know this, but I like films a lot. And it's one of my favorite things to do is to sit in a dark movie theater, maybe even, I don't like to drink soda, but once in a while, and get a box of popcorn and just sit there and live in another world for 2 hours. 813-239-9663. Kathy writes this, two recommended documentaries. She says, Active Measures is the first major documentary to address the allegations of collusion between the Trump campaign and agents of Russia. The film is called Active Measures. All right. Thanks, Kathy. And then she says the other one, the film about Mr. Rogers. All right. The film is Won't You Be My Neighbor? It did show at the Tampa Theater, I know. There was an incident, too, involving our attorney general down there at the Tampa Theater. She went to see it. But Kathy says, Won't You Be My Neighbor? An exploration of the life and lessons and the legacy of children's television host Fred Rogers. Won't You Be My Neighbor? That's Kathy in Hudson. I didn't see that. I did see one great documentary this year. I probably saw more, but I did see the notorious RBG about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I saw that at the Tampa Theater, and that was outstanding. And the place was packed, and it really says something about a film if the film has like a 10-night stand. I think it had something like a 10-night stand, and it was a documentary at the Tampa Theater. 813-239-9663. Asking what films you saw this year, what was your favorite? What would you recommend to others? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jackie in Sarasota. Hey, Jackie, how are you?
Hi, Rob. Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, you just mentioned the two films that immediately popped to mind for me, and that is RBG and Won't You Be My Neighbor? And because they were about real people, and they were so inspirational.
Yeah, I thought that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the drive she had in school, the relationship with her husband, and watching her work out. I mean, Stephen Colbert did a bit with her this year, but you actually saw her work out at the gym. I mean, her determination is incredible.
I know. It really made her so... so human. We look at her and she looks sort of, very formal and everything. And when you realize what a warm, fun person she was, and of course what she did for women's rights and everything. I mean, she was, and just sort of under the radar as far as, you know, she did so much more than I realized.
And what was it about the Fred Rogers film, the Mr. Rogers film, that you liked?
Well, again, he just, he so loved children and his gentle nature. And in spite of what people said or reviews or anything, he just was true to his feelings and his belief. And, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've often heard people describe the Mr. Rogers film as an antidote to the kind of Trump era, the lack of civility that we're in, and also how to solve problems, how to reach across, how to work with diverse communities. I mean, the film is much more than a kid's film. It's a film about our politics, our time.
It's true. Oh, and respect for children.
Yeah.
So not only love, but so much respect for children and awareness of how they're treated, you know, mold their personality and stuff, or has a lot to do with their security and all in life.
All right. Well, I'll have to see the film, Won't You Be My Neighbor?
I saw them both in the same day, and it was like, I was over the moon. I thought they were great. And RBG, I think, should be part of middle school education.
Yeah, maybe both. Maybe both.
Yes, right.
Yeah, Jackie, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank
all
you
right.
For everything.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, and Amy Goodman mentioned this on Democracy Now, and Mary and Arlene were talking about this a moment ago, the notorious RBG about Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is up for an Oscar. So that's pretty incredible. Doug writes this. Sea of Trees is an excellent film, and also he liked Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Montana, or whatever that was. I think it was something Minnesota. I saw that. I thought that was okay. There was a Jeff Bridges film I saw this year, too, and I forgot the title. I'll have to think of it. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. We're talking about your favorite films. Maybe you can recommend an outstanding film for all of us to watch this year, something that you were really thrilled to see. I'll read back some of the names at the end of the show, what people are suggesting, too. Let's go to Bill in Brooksville. Bill, you're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob.
Hi.
I just, that Saoirse Ronan is the woman, the Mary Queen of Scots, and both movies, both historical movies, Mary Queen of Scots, and the other one, The Favourite, are really good. They have great visuals, and the costumes are great, and they show how, even though you might be queen, men are still running you, at least back then. And I think that might be why Queen Elizabeth is staying in power for so long, just so men aren't pushing her around, maybe. But also, in Sarasota, they have a real treasure. I don't know if it's still there. It's been a while since I've been there. But the Burns Court Cinema shows independent films, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It is.
These movies.
And so is the film festival down there in Sarasota.
I guess it's been a while since I've been to Sarasota, but I wanted to mention Burns Court because I used to go there just to see the independence movies. Like Saoirse Ronan was in a movie, and it was only out for a week in Tampa, and it was about, I can't think of the title, but it was about a...
And now the BBC is...
Go ahead.
Pardon?
I was going to play Death of Mary Queen of Scots as soon as you were finished.
No, and they are good. It was, and that was the biggest thing, is how men pushed them around and ran the whole show, even though they were the queen.
And Margot Robbie, she was in the Favorite. She's one of my favorites too. All right, Bill, thanks a lot.
For sure. You have a great day, Rob.
All right, you too. Thanks. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa.
BBC is proud to present a brand new radio drama series, The Death of Mary, Queen of Scots, Part 1, The Beginning.
You are Mary, Queen of Scots.
I am!
Oh,
think she's dead.
No, I'm not.
That was episode 2 of The Death of Mary, Queen of Scots, specially adapted for radio by Gracie Fields and Joe Frazier. And now, Radio 4 will explode.
Little Monty Python here on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Thanks for tuning in. And let's go back and ask more people what their favorite movie of 2018 was. Let's go to Marianne in Seminole. Hi, Marianne.
Hello, yes. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
I've seen quite a few movies. I'm a buff like you. But I enjoyed The Star Is Born and the Queen movie.
Now, how was the music in A Star Is Born?
Oh, I thought it was great. And the actor, and I forget names because I'm older.
Well, Lady Gaga was in it, and then...
Lady Gaga was amazing, but the male actor was... I couldn't believe how he changed himself to do that, and the singing and everything.
You know, I'll tell you about the male actor, and I'll think of his name in a second, because there's a story about him...
He's very famous, but I don't remember names lately.
Yeah, and he was in American Sniper and a bunch of Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, there was a movie shot at the old WMNF building. This goes back 15 or 20 years, and Bradley Cooper was the star of the film that was shot here at WMNF at our old building. Before he was a star, he was really nobody. Yeah.
What was the film, Rob?
It was a film. It was all about a lonely DJ here in Tampa. It was shot by a local director, a Tampa guy who's a listener to this station. And I've got to think of the name. I'll think of it in a second.
Anyway, my favorite movie is Green Book. The Green Book.
Oh, you like The Green Book?
Oh,
okay,
the
you're the second one too. Yeah.
Because
okay. How was the music?
It's a very serious film about racism. There is a little violence in there, I'm sorry to say. The other guy didn't seem to remember that. But it is extremely funny. I don't think I've ever laughed as loud in a movie.
Really? And how was there jazz in there? Did they play jazz?
Well, it's kind of... his concerts are kind of jazzy, but there is one sequence in a club... where he plays jazz, and it's amazing. The whole movie is
all right. Well, that is definitely on my list too. Thanks, Marianne.
Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year. 813-239-9663. Asking you about your favorite movies of the past year. Doug sends in another email. Maybe it's a different Doug. He says, we have a theater in Lakeland that plays independent films, the Polk Theater. A good one that comes to mind is Juliet Naked. Also, Lady Bird was quite good. I'm not sure if Doug is talking about Hollywood films or something that's a little X-rated. Doug, thanks for that. And then Joellen likes The Favorite. All right, Joellen, thanks for that. Dennis writes this. Dennis does not write this. Suzanne writes this. She says, I saw Isle of Dogs, of course. The voices in the cast were tremendous. Edward Norton, Bill Murray, Scarlett Johansson, Bryan Cranston, Jeff Goldblum, Tilda Swinton. Boy, with a cast like that, you can't go wrong, can you? And then Suzanne goes on to say, at one point, it was a little slow, but I recommend the film. And my family saw Bohemian Rhapsody and just raved about it. All right. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. David writes this, I just saw the film You Were Never Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix. Excellent film. Hope it gets some attention from the Academy. The worst movie of the year by a few hundred miles is China Salesman, starring Mike Tyson and Steven Seagal. It's so bad, it's just bad, writes David. All right. Well, we'll take your suggestion for a bad movie. I saw one movie that was on everybody's bad list, and I thought it was pretty good, but I won't say the name of it unless somebody else mentions it. If you've got a suggestion for a movie, call us up, 813-239-9663. Ryan's in Dunedin. Ryan, what was your favorite?
Do you have me on?
You're on, Ryan.
Oh, nice. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. This movie, and you know, I'm the kind of person where the dramas are getting harder and harder to watch for me because I feel it's, you know, when movies are done in front of a green screen, I feel like it takes you out of the element. And so the production value on these documentaries, you know, Netflix has a bunch of them, it's so high. I just find myself hard to just watch a normal drama movie with, you know, with all these documentaries out. But Blue Planet with Attenborough was good. But one thing that I think is relevant to what's going on right now is a movie called Virunga. And it's a documentary about the national park in the Republic of Congo in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, it would be worth mentioning because, like, for instance, now we have, you know, this government shutdown where the parks are being short-staffed. This place has about 130 employees, and it looks like it's about the size of Texas. And they have to protect the mountain gorilla population, where that's the only place in the world that they live. And these things are the size of cars. And instead of just normal park ranger duties, they have to be fully armed and guarded because every time a government takeover happens in Congo, people raid that park for oil and all the animals. And they kill the elephants. They kill the adult gorillas so that they can go and get their babies. And you just see these people. All their whole lives are dedicating to protect this gorilla population. And when one gets killed or one dies, there's a scene where they explain that there was a massacre where people came in, they wanted to take the gorilla babies. And, you know, to do that, you have to kill all the adults around there because these things are massive. To show these people hauling these dead gorillas, you know, and that they're so close to. They are playing with them. They touch them every day. Stuff that it's hard to imagine that people would do.
Yeah.
And you know, I appreciate all of everybody that works at national parks and stuff. But this is a great movie to realize, you know, how really lucky we have it in the United States to have, you know, these beautiful parks that people don't have to risk their lives like they do in Africa to spend.
And that's Virunga.
Virunga. Virunga.
Oh, Virunga. Okay.
And I believe that's the name of the National Park of the Congo that this movie is based on.
All right, Ryan. Blue Planet and Virunga. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Great to hear from you. And Kevin writes this, go see Living in the Future's Past with Jeff Bridges and Free Solo, how Alex Homold climbed El Capitan without ropes. All right, Kevin, thanks a lot for that. Let's go to... let's see who's been holding the longest. Jeanette in Gulfport's been holding for a long time. Hey, Jeanette, you're on M&F.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I saw The Hate U Give, and it was awesome.
That was a film about a young man who's shot and killed by the police. Is that it?
Yes, and the girl who witnesses it and mm-hmm. her life after that, and how she testifies against the gang that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And how the whole, you know, town has to kind of, you know, stick up for her because the gang members want to kill her.
Mitch Perry, who used to work here at WMNF, I saw him a few weeks ago. He said he saw that film. He said it was great. He said it was really good.
It was great. It is really powerful.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something else. Lady Bird is not a X-rated movie. That was a great movie, too.
Okay. I shouldn't have said that to Doug. Okay.
That's okay. All right. Also, the best documentary of this year is Dominion.
And what's that about?
That's about factory farming.
Okay. All right. Good.
And definitely worth seeing if you want to know what's going on behind your food.
Yeah, really. All right, Jeanette, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. Dominion is that last song, film that she suggested. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. David also likes Isle of Dogs, another brilliant work by Wes Anderson. An allegory about an authoritarian a la Trump locking up all dogs because he's a cat lover. It's animated and it's wicked funny, writes David. And then Anonymous writes, Black Panther was great and made a lot of money, writes 813. Charles writes this, Vice, a must-see for your listeners, Bad Times at the El Royale. That's a Coen-type movie. That's Charlie and Brandon. Yeah, that was the Jeff Bridges I was trying to think of. It's got a great cast in it, Bad Times at the El Royale, on the shot on the border between California and Nevada. Charlie, thank you for that. And let's go back to the phones. Ray in Bradenton. Ray, what's your film suggestion?
I don't know if anyone's mentioned this before now, but I recently watched on my TV Roma.
Yeah, now that has made a lot of people's top 10 or top 1 lists. I mean, people are saying that may be one of the best films of the year. What's it about?
Well, you were talking earlier about enjoying sitting down in a theater in the dark and watching a film. I would, if you haven't seen Roma, I would recommend you do the theater experience rather than watching it on Netflix. And I think it is supposedly released into some theaters. It's set in the 1970s in Mexico City, and it's actually the director's autobiographical reminiscences about growing up in a wealthy family and having a nanny, and that's the plot of the entire film. Nothing real extraordinary about it, but it's just a total immersive experience. It's in black and white, and it just completely recreates the world of Mexico City in that environment in the 70s. And it was just fascinating to me. I mean, I was really drawn into it. Wonderful photography and interesting story behind the film itself.
So yeah, and that's by Alfonso Cuarón, who just did, what was the space movie he made with Sandra
Gravity.
Bullock? What was it? Gravity.
Yeah. Gravity.
Yeah, that was a great film. So he's gone from outer space, which was one of the great outer space movies of the last 5 years, and now he's gone back to the ground. You know, he did a film in the early 2000s called E Tu Mama Tambien, which I thought was a terrific road trip movie in Mexico.
It was memorable, yes.
All right. Ray, thanks a lot. Thanks for bringing up Roma. I think that may emerge as one of the top films of the year on everybody's list.
That would please me, yes.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ray. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're talking about people's favorite films, and Mark writes this. I missed your show, but I'm sorry if I'm repeating. Bohemian Rhapsody and the Mr. Rogers movie. That's what he liked. And he also liked the Goody Burger documentary that Lynn Marvin did that was shown at the Tampa Theater. By the way, Lynn is a host here on WMNF. She, in fact, she hosts the Midpoint program every other Thursday. So Lynn was just here last week, I believe. So I think it's the Surly Feminist today. Well, I could have gotten that wrong, but the Midpoint program is coming up. It's either going to be Lynn and Shelley or the Surly Feminist today on Midpoint. This is WMNF in Tampa, and let's talk about some more films with Mary in Safety Harbor. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Rob. What a great movie. And the one that hasn't been mentioned that I thought was amazing was Eighth Grade. It was a wonderful movie about the perspective of an eighth grader and as a teacher and a grandmother of teenagers. It really helped me to kind of understand the difference of growing up in a world of social media.
And this is a young girl. This is a young girl's story in eighth grade, right?
Yes, exactly. But yeah. I thought it was beautifully done, and it was really took you into her experience and helped you to understand how different it is.
Compared to when, I'm assuming that you might be closer to my age compared to when we were growing up.
Well, I think the world of social media has changed adolescence.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us to understand how it has changed it. But I thought this movie really was well done into taking us into the young girl's experience and helping us to see the world through her eyes.
All right. Well, I will look up that. I hear it's a great portrayal. So, Mary, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. Good to hear from you. She recommended Eighth Grader. And let's go to Maggie, who's on the road in St. Augustine. Maggie, are you in St. Augustine?
Not yet.
Oh, you're headed there.
Right. I'm near Lake, closer to Lakeland. We're heading that way. But I wanted to talk about a little bit about the movie Beautiful Boy.
Okay. Now, what?
And I
forgot that one. What's that about?
Well, I believe it was a book first. It was a father that wrote a book, and then the son wrote the books. Neff was the last name, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Carell plays the dad of a son who's addicted to meth.
Ah.
And he played that role, I mean, and it shows how the disease of addiction is a family disease. Because he's remarried, and he has children to his second wife, and then he has this boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy, it's gut-wrenching. It's so realistic.
So there's not a hint of comedy in this new Steve Carell
film.
None.
Yeah. None.
Yeah.
No, he is a master. I'm telling you, he is so... let me see how flexible he is.
Isn't it interesting how some comedians can really touch that deep emotional point and can cross over to a serious movie? Robin Williams did that.
Oh, one of my all-time favorites. I love them. I love it. And really, I'm not big on comedy, but I do see that side of them. They do have that side, most comedians, and yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
And the movie was just, and the young boy, I'm not real familiar with him, who played the son, addicted son. I haven't seen him around a lot. You probably know a little bit more about him than I do, but it was a great movie. I would say see it if you haven't.
All right, I will. I'm adding it to the list. Maggie, thanks a lot.
All right.
I trust our listeners because I know people that listen to M&F have pretty good taste. Kimberly writes this. It's not a new movie, but the documentary Idiocracy. Well, she says it's practically a documentary. Yeah, we gave that away a couple times during our fund drives right after the 2016 election. Ron likes Phantom Thread with Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis says it's going to be his last movie, right? And The Darkest Hour about Churchill. Yeah, that's one that I want to see. And The Shape of Water is fascinating, writes Ron. And I think, did that come out last year? And anyway, Ron and Sarasota recommending all those movies. San Z writes The Wall. All right, San Z. Thanks a lot. Oh, he's talking about initial discussion that we had. Okay, San Z, thanks for that. Let's go to Mary Beth in Palm Harbor. Hi, Mary Beth. What's your favorite film this year?
Well, I think The Darkest Hour, hands down, was the best movie we've seen this year.
Now Gary Oldham, is he like, can he play anything? I mean, he plays Alfred on the Batman movies, and he was in that Dracula movie years ago. I mean, he played Lee Harvey Oswald in the JFK film. I mean, he can play anything, can he?
That movie was unbelievable. First of all, we really love history movies. And there's another movie. It actually came out late December last year, but we saw it this year. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool.
No, I haven't seen it.
And it was very highly rated by the St. Pete Times. And we saw it. We rented it. And it's a true story. And so we like that, and it takes place over in England and in another time in the 1950s. And Annette Bening was incredible. She plays the lead character, and it's just really good. Really good movie.
Yeah, all right.
Those two.
Mary Beth, thanks a lot. I love Annette Bening,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All righty.
Happy New Year. And let's go to Mary in Tarpon Springs. Mary, favorite film of the year?
Yes, hi. This is Heather.
Oh, Heather, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I went last night to a movie in Palm Harbor called Mule with Clint Eastwood, actor and director, and it was a terrific story from a true story, and it just ties in so much with all that's going on with the legislation regarding marijuana and the charges hopefully being changed. And it was very interesting that the state of Georgia was part of the credit for that movie, the credits at the end,
mm-hmm.
and that's where my son is being held without hearing.
Oh.
So let's all just keep praying for the law to change. That movie was terrific. It was sad, but it was so well done.
All right, Mule with Clint Eastwood.
Right.
And he's
Bradley
the director.
Cooper's in it, too.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper's in it. Okay.
And he has a very good role as well.
Heather, thanks a lot.
Okay, $5 Tuesdays.
Okay, thank you. So some of the films that we heard about today, Mary Queen of Scots, Green Book, these are all films our listeners are recommending, Bohemian Rhapsody, the Notorious RBG, Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers film, and then The Favorite, A Star is Born. Green Book had a couple of votes. Isle of Dogs had several votes. The documentaries Blue Planet and Virunga. The Hate U Give was one of the films mentioned. Roma was mentioned. Eighth Grader, Beautiful Boy, Darkest Hour, and Mule, and Lady Bird. Just some of the films mentioned by our listeners. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to WMNF 88.5 FM. And somebody says we need a remake of It's a Mad, Mad World, because it is, writes Anonymous. And Wendy suggested a documentary film called Icebox. And let's see. D writes, Vice is amazing. It's a tremendous representation of the events that led us to the presidential situation we're in today. Also recommends Black Klansman and Green Book. So those are some of the films that have popped up. And so If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the Midpoint program. The Surly Feminists are coming up next. It's going to be a good one. This is WMNF in Tampa, the Bay Area's community radio station. The news is next, and then right after that, the Midpoint program with the Surly Feminists.